Okay. You know what I left out last time? Prayer at the beginning of the session. And I felt it myself. I don't know if you felt it, but I did. We like to pray before we have any class and ask God to take over. Now this time it's a Bible study. It's going to be freewheeling. We're going to have you involved in it in just a very short order. And that ought to be interesting to see how you respond to it. But it's going to be a Bible study that's very simple and basic. But remember, we're dealing with people that need the simplicity of the gospel and how to get started in their Christian walk. And so trust that we'll get a good grasp of this and be able to see, somehow use it. I don't know whether this was planned originally for you to have this particular session. We did the four classes on Christian life and witness. And they felt that this should be added, and I guess they had the consensus, did they, okay. So, anyway, we're not going to bore you with it or worry about it, but we're almost through anyway, brethren, and we're going to have a good meal tonight, right? Let's pray. Okay, Father, what's the matter? We are holding him down. Is he about ready to take off? Father, we do thank you for the time we've had in a beautiful spot here in the mountains, and we've heard your still small voice. This is the way, walk in it, and I trust that we will listen to it over and over again and allow you to work more deeply in our lives and through our lives in the days ahead. May we be able to take all that we've gathered from here and distill it and take from it those things that will best suit us in our ministries. And we pray that it will lead to a great expanding of the opportunity of getting the message out, discipling others and training others in the Christian life and witness. In Jesus' name, amen. Tom mentioned the statement that I learned years ago from Dick Hillis. How many of you know the name Dick Hillis? Some of you, he's an old-timer. I am responsible for the depth of my commitment. God's responsible for the breadth of it. We were in Lubbock, Texas, not too long ago. It was one of Tom's first crusades, I believe, wasn't it, Tom? Lubbock. And in a Texas Tech football locker room, all around the wall, these words, I will prepare and get ready, and someday my chance will come. Now, the football player doesn't wait till the coach says, get in the game. Man, if he's smart, he's going to learn all the plays. He's going to build that body up, strong as he can be, learn everything he can about the position that he's going to play. So when the coach says, get in the game, he's ready to go immediately. Right? We're not going to wait until someone says, hey, how'd you like to do this? Let's get ready ahead of time. Memorizing Scripture, studying the Bible, and doing all the things that we know God wants us to do. And I'm going to take another crack at walking in the Spirit, learning more about that indwelling potential power that's in every one of us who wants to really give a dynamic for our life and ministry. Let's hear an amen.
Amen.
Okay. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just before I get into the study, we're in a spiritual warfare, right? I like 1 Chronicles 12:33. The whole chapter has to do with the union again of Israel with Judah. You know, they'd been enemies fighting each other. And that's what we're doing a lot of the time, fighting each other. The church, Christians, organizations, we're now coming together. And so, read the chapter, maybe tonight. Every one of the tribes came up, and you could almost see them saluting. I come from Issachar, from Gad, Benjamin. And they telling you how many fighting men they had. Some could throw stones with both hands and everything. When it came to Zebulun, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all the instruments of war, 50,000 which could keep rank, they were not of double heart. They were real promise keepers. They knew there was one direction in battle, forward, no retreat. 50,000 which could keep rank, they were not of double heart. They had one heart, and that was for God and to fight his battles. And then one other passage, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I memorized it years ago in the King James, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. NIV treats it beautifully. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Powerful weapons that are powerful enough, divine power, demolish strongholds. And we are out against the enemy in the battle. And we've been talking about the weapons from the beginning of the session. The weapon of prayer, bringing God into everything that we do. The weapon of the Holy Spirit that gives a dynamic to everything that we do. The weapon of Scriptures, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then the weapon of faith. Like little old David, he could go out and take on the giant by faith. And we need to exercise all of these weapons against the enemy in the days ahead. So I pray when you leave these beautiful mountains, you're going to go forward in faith. A verse that has taken me all over the world, Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee. Wave your flag back there. That's it. Okay. Take out the book. Keep me alive there. Thank you very much. It's always good to have someone responding like that. Now, this little booklet here has 30 lessons in it. There's 6 verses on every lesson. We're going to look at truth 5 different ways. We're going to circle keywords. We're going to paraphrase. We're going to make an application. And, I have a theory I adopted a long time ago. I would rather look at a little a lot and distill from it than look at a lot a little and get very little from it. Now, I still read several chapters a day sometimes. But I just like to get into something and distill from it. And that's what this is all about, distilling truth. And especially as we begin our Christian life as a newcomer. And so if you will, open up to page 4. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the preliminaries here because I'm not sure how you're going to use it, because I want to get you into the lesson very quickly. But page 4. 30 discipleship exercises is 30 discipleship exercises, a 30 lesson study featuring 30 different topics with 6 verses for each lesson on the same topic. The scriptures that have been selected are those which are basic to the Christian life and discipleship. This devotional material can be used by an individual for daily devotions, one-on-one discipling of another, or for small groups. And then it tells you how to use it for personal devotion, how one-on-one, and in group discussion. Turn the page or print on page 5. What is a discovery group? Group of 6 to 12 people meeting weekly in an informal setting to study the Word of God. The method is discussion. The leader simply asks questions to draw the group into the discussion of the Crusade Bible study, which each individual prepares in advance of the lesson. After lesson 1, that is lesson 2 and following, because the first lesson they don't have the book, and so we can have the lesson without them having a book ahead of time, but once they get the book, then we'll explain to you they can do their lesson ahead of time and be more prepared then to answer questions. The purpose in our mind is primary purpose to follow up crusade inquirers. The names of crusade inquirers are sent daily to the local churches. Following the crusade, people who have made commitments, plus their friends and other church members who are interested in the Bible study, should be invited to attend the discovery group study. Leadership and material, churches wishing to be involved, they're responsible for training leaders and the use of the Discovery Group studies. These can be purchased at the Crusade office or through Grayson in Minneapolis. These books, I believe we sell them for about 50 cents a piece. If you bought them in a bookstore, they're about $2.50. This is one of our most popular studies. It's used very, very often around the United States. You'll be looking at truth five different ways: circling keywords or phrases, answering questions, defining keywords, paraphrasing a verse, making an application to life. Turn the page. Now, I'm going to simulate a meeting. I've got a dozen people in the meeting. Though we may have 100, we've got a dozen of you. Open the meeting with prayer, and with a new group of Christians, you're not going to use a lot of great big phrases like, oh, Wolf, Alpha, Omega, the beginning, those great big words that they wouldn't understand. You want to be very, very simple with them. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of meeting together like we're doing here today, studying your word, and we pray that you'll be the teacher, that you'll open our eyes, that you'll help us to find some things today that will help us to grow more in Jesus Christ and be more effective in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I talk to you about the course. Review the plans. Although your study book contains several studies, suggest a termination date of 7 weeks, and we have set aside 7 lessons for the 7 weeks in our follow-up with Crusades. Hopefully, once the people get involved, they'll want to go beyond the termination date. The study should take about 1 hour each week. Get acquainted. Start the leader with a leader and have each group member give his or her their name, blah, hobby, prayer request. Make a request as personal concern about what you'd like others to pray during the week. Note, as each member responds, names and prayer requests should be recorded on the group covenant page across the page. And so I would open up by, my name is Charlie Riggs. You already know that, you know, have been the teacher, but this is my hobby, and give you a little idea what I like. I do play golf once in a while. I like to play golf. Can't hit the ball all that good, but I really do like sports. And my prayer request is, and I want to give you something that would be helpful to me. You'd pray for me, and I would like it to be something that you'd pray for me. That, I might say, pray that I'll be more of an affirmer instead of an evaluator. May the Lord help me to be one who lifts more and encourages more by my affirmation. Your dad, Kent, I don't know anybody more affirming than he is. Every time he's always got something good to say, and that's great. It makes you feel good, being an affirmer. And so each one in the group gives name and a hobby and a prayer request. And then we get into the study. Okay, turn over, if you will, to page... right over to page 12. Page 12. Salvation. It's a simple and basic, and it's for new Christians. Keep that in mind. New babes in Christ. Read the paragraph at the top of the page. Salvation means deliverance from sin and its consequence. Review and meditate on these truths until you can say with confidence, I know I am saved. I've been born into God's family as his child. I now have eternal life. Now, it says circle keywords or phrases in the following scriptures. Right now, I want you to circle keywords. And I want to ask you the question, and this is for your benefit particularly, but why be concerned about circling keywords as you read scriptures day by day? Let me get a few responses. Why bother about circling keywords? Give me some hands here. Yes, sir. Helped you to focus. You know, every passage in the Bible doesn't have more than 2 or 3 real meaty words to give you what the verse is all about. So focus. Let's have a few more hands. Why circle keywords? Yes, sir.
You read it more than once.
You read it more than once. Oh, huh? Those words, that's right. Yes, sir. Mental images.
Everybody participates.
Yes, sir. Forces you to think. Yes, sir. You know, I heard a story recently, or read it, that Henry Ford hired a guy to come onto his shop and up in Detroit and look over the whole shop and get some, come up with a report on their work ethic. Every department. He went around day by day all over the place and came back and he said, you know, generally your people are putting in a good day's work. But he said, I notice that I go by one office and every time I pass that office, the guy's got his feet up on the desk and he didn't look like he's doing anything. He said, what's his name? Name on the door, name on the neck. He said, that guy is my highest paid employee. I hired him to do nothing but think. We do so little of it, right? I read recently where some of the big car corporations now are let their employees contribute. What can we do to make the car, give it more integrity? What can we do to cut out the parts and make, they've reduced parts in the car from something like 700 or 800 down to a third of them. By thinking, doing this, doing that, we can reduce a lot of the work, a lot of the things that go into a car to make it a better car. It pays to think. I had this class up in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, and a guy came up to me and said, Charlie, you are right. I went to MIT. He said, one of the things they taught us in MIT was to think. We do so little thinking today. Isn't that right? Well, boy, we sure want to think about scriptures when we're looking. I just not read it and forget about it. Now, I'm going to read. You notice in the bottom of the box, it says, in above scriptures, what do we learn about? Answer briefly. Salvation. Secondly, becoming God's child. Eternal life. I'm going to read the first four verses dealing with salvation. You are going to circle keywords, and I'm going to ask you, what do we learn about salvation in this particular verse? Getting people to think again about being converted, being God's child, or having the assurance of eternal life. So I will read, you circle, all right? Circle. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now, I don't want you to underline a whole sentence. I'm thinking of making you think again about words or combinations of words. I'll read it one more time. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. A few hands now. What do we learn about salvation, sir? Salvation from sin, all right? What do we learn about salvation? Yes, sir. In Jesus, all right? What do we learn about salvation? Yes, sir. The Son who saves. What do we learn about salvation? Yes, okay, his people. What do we learn? Anything else about salvation? All right, this is the first verse we're talking about. Huh? Call his name Jesus? Okay. Okay. You know, there's never a wrong answer. I bet you're right there, but there's never a wrong answer because you never want to embarrass anybody. If we get fouled up and some things look like they're getting a little out of hand, you can turn it around and correct the statement. But thank you for that, really. All right. Okay? Okay. Second verse on salvation. But God proves his love for us by the fact that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. But God proves his love for us by the fact that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. What do we learn about salvation? Let's see some hands quickly. Yes, sir. Christ died. What do we learn? Yes, sir. Proves his love. What do we learn? Quickly. Still sinners. Yes, sir. It's a fact. It's not something we'll wonder about. It's a definite fact. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Isn't that good? You bet. Okay, for us. All right. Number three. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Now, we memorized that in another translation, but this book was put together some time ago. What do we learn about salvation from this verse? Let's see. No, don't show hands. Yes, sir. It's a gift, and you can only receive a gift you don't work for. Yes, sir. It's through grace, and you have a chance as a teacher with a new group of people to amplify it, explain some of these words, and that it's what? Not of works. What else? Anything else? By faith. And I like to put a little circle about that sometimes and talk about who are we placing our faith in, you know. Make them understand that it's faith in the person. Jesus. All right, one more. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What do we learn about salvation? Yes, sir. Call on Him. Do you remember when you did it? How old were you? 18 years old. In a revival meeting? College campus. Okay. What else do we learn about salvation in this verse? Excuse me, don't shout. We're hand, please. Yes, sir.
For everyone.
For everyone, and I'm glad about that, aren't you? Anyone, anything else? What do we learn? Quickly, hand. Call upon the name of the Lord, okay. Anything else? Will be saved. Not might be, right? All right, we're going to switch gears now. So we're just kind of bringing to the fore here passages on salvation to really drive home to this new Christian factors that are involved in a faith in Jesus Christ. And we're giving them a chance by looking at it. They may not know a lot the first meeting, but I'm going to guarantee you, I've held these meetings in Roman Catholic seminaries. I was up in Pope John the 23rd Seminary in Boston not too long ago, and I had 97 priests and sisters and they just were eating this thing up. Really. That's right. A lot of it was new to them, this practice. You mean that's the Bible, what it says? And a lot of people don't know what's in the Scripture. Even a lot of our churches today, is that right? Now, what do we learn about becoming God's child? We're looking at the fifth verse. But to all who did accept Him, Christ, and trust in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born of God, and not of natural blood, nor of physical or human impulse, but to all who did accept Him, Christ, and trust in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born of God and not of natural blood nor of physical or human impulse. Hands only, what do we learn about becoming God's child? Let's see a few hands. Yes, sir.
Trust.
Trust. What do we learn about becoming God's child? Yes, sir. Accept Him. Yes, sir. He gives the right, and that's a wonderful right, isn't it? What else? We become children of God. What else we learn? Yes, sir. Huh? New birth. And my friend, what an opportunity to talk to them about being born into a family. And I want you to put in the margin of your page here, just put on an angle so you can put in four words. Put on an angle, N-E-W, new, just right by that passage there, John 1, 12 and 13. New. Then put number one, foundation. A brand new foundation in Christ. Foundation. The second word, family. We're now into a new family of believers. The third word is foe. We also have a new foe. And it's good to talk about the foe right away that's going to be doing everything he can to pull us down and cause doubts and so on. And then in the last F is future. Wonderful new future. One day we're going to go to be with Him and live eternally with Him. And so
You're getting them to now look at basic things. You know, I'll never forget the night with my dad. He left home when I was 2 years of age, but when he got to be about 12, probably 68, excuse me, he was 78 because he died at 78, and he died not long afterwards, same age that I am. And he had a stroke and had to move in with my sister in Rochester, New York, and he told my sister Esther, send for Buster. And I'd witnessed to him many, many times, but couldn't get anywhere with him. He said that chewing tobacco was his worst sin, and he'd left a mother with 8 children. And I drove up from Olean, New York, picked up a brother-in-law and 2 sisters in Olean. We drove up to Rochester, 110 miles, got up there about 7 in the evening. They went into the kitchen to eat, and I went in my father's room. And his first words, son, I've lived a wicked life. And when I die, I want to go to be where Mother is. He had a godly mother, and she came to our home just before she died and said, pray for your dad, Orma. He doesn't know the Lord. Well, I was only about 8, and I wasn't in a family yet, but, you know, you prayed anyway, as children. And so I prayed, and then when I grew up and got converted and had children, they prayed. We visited him on his farm and prayed and prayed and prayed and met with him several times. He knew I was in the business. And so I went in his room and he said, I want to be where my mother is. I said, Dad, you've already taken the first step. He said, you know, I know that I've lived a bad life. Boy, that's the beginning. Secondly, and I got his Bible, the old Bible out, and I shared some passages with him. Then I went to Revelation 3:20 and read it to him, and I said, Dad, if you want Jesus to come into your life, what do you need to do? He said, I've got to ask him to come in. I said, well, you want to do that right now? He said, yes. Then I turned over to John 1:12 and 13, and I read John 1:12. And many has received him. What do you become, Dad, when you receive him? His son. And then 13, which were born out of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. And I said, Dad, if you really believe tonight, you've got a brand new birth certificate. I said, how would you prove to me you were 78? He said, well, I got a birth certificate. So when and where? And I said, Dad, this is your spiritual birth certificate. And I marked in the corner of his Bible, right down the page there, August 26, 1959, and he's watching me over the top of his glasses. And so help me when I finish. He said, son, put down 9:30. Right. They're going to give you a book, learning to get some hangs. That's good. They're going to give you a book after this session's over. On a book I had the privilege of writing some time ago, Learning to Walk with God. It has a Bible study at the end of every chapter, and that story's in there, just exactly as it. His first act afterwards is write out a check for your mother. He said, I know she has needs. And came a knock on the door. And my older sister Esther was standing there and said, come in. I said, Dad, tell Esther what you just did. I just asked Jesus to come into my life. And so, drive home, new birth, born of God. So many people, they have no idea what it means to be in the family, right? They need to get a good start. And then, this last verse, I have a little fun with it. I'm going to read it, and I want you to circle what you think is the most important word in the verse. I'll read it, and you circle the most important word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What word did you circle? Let me see some hands. Yes, sir. He gave, all right? Believe. What did you circle?
For God.
For God, okay. Yes, sir. He loved, yes. What did you circle? Soul.
solas, okay? What else? Eternal. Yes, sir. Whoever. You know, you could have every word circled before you too here. You haven't proved anything, have you? But what did we make him do? Think. Now I'd ask, if you want eternal life according to this verse, what must you do? And the answer is? Believe. So make learning fun. That's one of the greatest compliments I've ever get. You make learning fun. And it ought to be fun, shouldn't it? Now you notice an asterisk along to the left of that verse? That means you memorize that one. It also means for these seven lessons, the verse with the asterisk is going to be the verse we're going to do for a verse study. So at top of page 13, put down verse reference John 3:16. John 3:16. The asterisk, we memorize the verse, and it's also the verse for word study, for the verse study for the 7 weeks. List two words now. Believe and eternal life. Believe and eternal life. And I'd ask my class, and you want to be prepared yourself for a few, making a few comments of what, as you define these words, because some of them may not have too much knowledge, but surely believe is not necessarily a Bible word necessarily, and people ought to be able to say, what does it mean to believe? The next week, they'll have a chance, we're going to give them a homework, and we're going to show them the words that they're going to be defining, and they'll have a chance to look in the dictionary for it. But what does it mean to believe? Let's see a few hands. Yes, sir.
Put your full weight on.
Put your weight on. What does it mean to believe? Let's see a few more hands. Yes, sir. Trust in.
Accept totally.
Accept totally. What else? What does believe mean? Depend. Yes, sir. Rely on. Anything else? Accept as true. Okay, let's move on. Eternal life. What does eternal life mean? So come on, one at a time with a hand up. Yes, sir. Forever. Let's see some hands. What does eternal life mean to you? No end. Eternal life. One more hand. Yes, sir. To be with him? Okay. No death. Yes, sir. To know him. Infinite. Anything else? Eternal life. God's life. Anything else? Yes, sir. Begins now. That's right. You know, I had this class up in Annapolis one time, and a Presbyterian physician was in the class. He says, it's permanent and irrevocable. That's what it was to him. What we're doing is just making people think. Now, everybody gets in the action. I want you to take John 3:16 and paraphrases. Put it in your own words right now, each of you. It shouldn't take you long. Put it in your own. Don't amplify. Just paraphrase it. And when you finish, raise your hand, put it down again. All right. Well, you've done enough. We want to move on here. I've got to be off here at 10 after. That's when I got up at 10 after 4, so I'll be off at 10 after 5. I still have a little time here. Tom, I'm not going to squeeze any out of you this time, okay? Who'd like to read his paraphrase? Let's see. Stand up. Read your paraphrase.
God was moved by his compassionate love to offer his son to save the people who, by believing in him, are the object of the same compassion.
Okay, thank you. Who'd like to read the paraphrase here? Quickly, a few more. Where are you? Yes, sir. All right. A few more. Where are you? Yes, sir. All right. One more. Who will it be? Yes, there's three of you back there. I'll get all of you. Go ahead. All right. All right, sir. Okay. Now, we're switching now in our direction here. We're going to talk about application. And I find in all my travels, people know very little about what it means to apply a verse of Scripture to their life. It's amazing. You'll find out that when you ask them to do this next statement, they practically rewrite the same thing they said in their paraphrase. But what we want to look at is, it says, how can I apply the truth of this verse to my life today? Now, surely it should give us blessed assurance and peace and whatever, the knowing where we're going to spend eternity. But does it give us any more of a responsibility to... You write an application. Write an application. What does it mean to you, to John 3:16, to know that you're in the family? And raise your hand and put it down when you finish. Okay, I think we've done enough here. You know what we're doing here. But let's hear a few of you. Who would like to read their prayer? Yes, sir.
I can give myself to God because He gave Himself for me.
All right. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
That I can live for Him today and that I have peace about the future.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Share this truth with another. That's right. We don't want to keep it to ourselves, do we? Share with another. You might have someone in mind right away. I think Tom has a little he'll probably share with you. Who's it going to be? When are you going to meet with them? Is that right, Tom? But nail it down. Yes, sir. Did you?
God loves me, and where I fall short is that I don't love Him enough, and I'll make application to show obedience to God as in the area of basics.
Okay. Now, turn back to page 6. We had a little idea about the lessons, how they can be used. The book can be used with individual devotions or one-on-one or a group study. We've just done the group study. And now, about up at number 5, discuss lesson 1, 30 to 40 minutes. Slowly read aloud the 6 verses and have group circle keywords or phrase. We did that, right? Give an additional 3 or 4 minutes for the group to reread in verses and circle additional words. I didn't do that because we're fighting time here. And then C, ask the questions listed in the box. What do we learn about number 1, salvation, becoming God's child, and eternal life? Now, where it says note at least 7 or 8 items, I want you to put above the word note, circle at least 7 or 8 facts about salvation. We're redoing this book. Tom and I worked over it the third time, Tom? We're not through with it yet. You keep improving your equipment. You know, the British, I was over there doing a Bible study, and said, you know the thing I like about the Americans? When you build a good airplane, you just improve it. You don't come up with another one. And so the DC-6, the DC-7, and then the 727, and the 737, and the 747, and the 757, and the 6. He said, you just take a good product, and you keep improving it. And we're still working on this one. Now, what do we learn about becoming God's child? Circle 2 or 3 facts. Circle 2 or 3 facts. What do we learn about eternal life? Circle 2 or 3 facts. Now you're with me. We're down to D. Do a verse study on John 3:16. Define believe in eternal life. Paraphrase John 3:16. Let each member share his or paraphrase. Write an application. What does the verse say to me? Have each member share his or her application. Now I want to ask the question. What is the value of a study that we've just done the last half hour? What is the value? Let's see some hands. Value of this type of study. Yes, sir. Gets everyone to participate. What is the value? Yes, sir. Makes you think. Okay, yes, sir. But go to the truth. Go to the truth. God's Word. What is the value of this type of study? Yes, sir. It's easy to reproduce. What's the value? You're involved in God's Word. You learn from one another, and that's good, because we're sort of, you know, it's not like the mama bird knocking yourself out, getting worms for the baby bird. We're letting the baby birds get involved, and they do a little cheeping, chirping for us, and they're sharing with one another. And that's good. Yes, Jack?
Thoughts untangle themselves through the point of the pen and over the lips.
Thoughts disentangle themselves by passing over the lips and the pencil tips. That's good. Making it think. What else do we learn? What is the value there? Teaches them to learn for themselves. Why did it go on for a long time? Now, what we do then, we end up in a prayer circle, and what I suggest is a lot of these people are brand new, and they have never prayed before, a lot of them. So we suggest for the first at least one or two or three meetings, maybe all seven, just the word, "Thank you, Lord," and insert one little thought. When we were in Oklahoma, Jean, wife and I had a Bible study out in the apartment where we lived, way down south, and a Catholic woman came to faith, and we had her Bible study, and we came to this prayer circle. She said, "Well, Mr. Riggs, I've never prayed out loud." And I said, "Mary, can you say, 'Thank you, Lord'?" "Sure, let me hear you. Thank you." And she mentioned a few things, and I said, "That's right, you're praying, and you're praising God in a way." So we suggest for the first, maybe the two or three, maybe all seven classes, you got a prayer circle now of 10, 12 people. Just go around the circle inserting, "Thank you, Lord," and insert one or two things. For my church, for my Christian friends, for the Bible, whatever. And you go around, doesn't take long. And then you give home assignment for lesson two. Give the home assignment. And I want you to turn to page 14 for the home assignment. The second lesson is on assurance. And we're going to encourage them to do some things here. Having assurance means being certain in mind with a freedom from doubt. One of Satan's tricks is to cause believers to doubt their salvation. Meditate on the following scriptures to enable you to have victory over your doubts. Circle keywords again. And so on the bottom it says, what do we learn about assurance? I'm going to read two or three of these verses, and just for, again, to give you a little practice, circle keywords dealing with assurance. As I read, first verse, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Let's see your hand. What did we circle having to do with assurance? Let's see a few hands here. What words did we circle? Yes, sir.
Riches of his grace.
The riches of his grace. What did we learn here? Yes, sir.
Forgiveness of sin.
Forgiveness of sin. Yes, sir. In whom? Okay, what else? Redemption through his blood. Okay, in the next verse. Who are kept by the power of God through salvation unto faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Read it again. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's see a few hands. What did we learn about assurance? Yes, sir. We're kept. Isn't that great? God is keeping us. What else? By the power of God. Does he have enough power? You bet he does. What else?
Through faith.
So you see, you can maybe get them started on their lesson. And even if they don't do their lesson, you can still have a Bible study, right? And many of them, we hope, would do the lesson. Now, down on the bottom it says, the asterisk is by Philippians 1:6. Read it together with me. "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ." Circle confident and circle perfect. And on the top of page 15, put Philippians 1:6, two keywords, confident and perfect. And tell them now you can use your dictionary before you come back next week, and we'll have more of a discussion on keywords. And encourage them to do as it says in the box below. What do we learn about assurance in the following? They're to write a little statement, or at least we would encourage them to write something out alongside of each verse here, but certainly circled key words. Now, back to page 8, I believe it is. I should have marked that it is. Page 8. Page 8. This is really the homework. I showed you where it was ahead of time, so you wouldn't be guessing, or you wouldn't be. It's just at least a mental image of what we're talking about. Have the group read the entire chapter from which each verse in the lesson is taken, and make additional notes in the margin alongside the verse. It's optional, probably for more mature groups. I don't think too many people, new Christians, are going to take each verse and read the whole chapter. If you can get them to do it, fine. In other words, they'd read all of Philippians, first chapter. They would read all of Peter, first chapter, and so on, each of these verses. I don't know they do, but encourage them if they have time to do it. Read the whole chapter from which the verse is taken. Make any additional notes in the margin. Second, have each group member write out a question they would like to ask, a question that cannot be answered by yes or no. Now, this is going to bring them into it, because when I ask a few questions, I say, now, what would you like to ask? And sometimes they come up with some terrific questions that really gets a good discussion going. And it's theirs. They're doing it. Then three, assign a verse mark with an asterisk for memory and verse study. Philippians 1:6, memory verse cards for the new beginning sections are included in the back of the book. So way in the back, we have a verse card for every one of these verses if you turn in the back. John 3:16, Philippians 1:6, and all through the seven lessons, we have a verse card for them to take out of there, carry with them, and learn the verse by heart. Back to page 8. As a leader, ask the questions in the box and have two or three more ready if necessary. Example, how would you explain Philippians 1:6 to another person? So you're going to ask the question, what do we learn about salvation? This verse. Get as much as you can. Any question you'd like to ask about it and have a good discussion. Then you move over to do your verse study on Philippians 1:6 and have them discuss the key words. Write out a paraphrase Philippians 1:6 and then write out an application from it. Format for the continuing lessons 2 and following, and page 8. Prayer, share time at the beginning. Have prayer with them surely and it's time of sharing. What does the lesson mean to you, the pastor? Just anything you'd like to draw from them. Second, review them the memory of verse 2, which would be Philippians 1:6 in this case. John 3:16, the first one, Philippians 1:6. Discuss the lesson for 40 minutes. You have your prayer circle, then the home assignment. So you turn to the home assignment and show them what they're to do for the next week. Now, turn to page 74 for a little bit of additional help on the Bible study. Page 74, give me a few more ideas of what it is and what it isn't. And you've got the two laws of teaching that I've been living by for the last 50 years. I learned from the Navigators years ago and profited by it. Telling isn't teaching. Listening isn't learning. You learn to do by doing. Do you believe that tonight, today, do you? You know, you could preach on tithing 100 messages and feel like you did a terrific job, but not get anyone to tithe. They're not tithing until they're doing it, isn't that right? You say the same about scripture memory. I've been pounding that down, but I haven't taught you scripture memory. Until you get memorizing, I don't know how much good that did, but I'm still going to pound away and put the Word of God in your heart. Amen? Now, the law of progression. This is exactly what we did today. Tell them why. We're getting people ready to get in Bible study. Show them how we turn to a lesson. We got started on the lesson. Now, to keep going, we're going to meet next week again, and you're going to be doing the assurance study. And then help them reproduce. Kick them out of the nest. Gene has been doing this for the last 40-some years, this exact thing. Thank God for Gene. He's had the vision of it, and he's done it. And producing reproducers is the name of the game. What is a small group? The purpose of the group? Growth, nourishment or feeding, care, concern, encouragement. Small group, 6 to 12 people involved in an individual Bible study during the week, meeting an hour a week for discussion, sharing results of the home study, discovering what God says and applying it to the life. Why have a small group? It's a time of community fellowship. You like that word, don't you? Fellowship, right? Understanding and applying the Bible. And that's the hardest thing to get done. Application. Develops a sense of belonging. Gives encouragement to less mature Christians. Disciplines to develop life-changing habits. Opportunity for questions. Small group format. Time of sharing is beginning. 40 minutes discussion. And then praying. Goals or aims. Three goals. Discovery. What does God say? Two, understanding. What does it mean? And three, application. How can this affect my life? Turn the page. Group method. Bible discussion groups. In contrast to other methods, it's not an oration, not a group of experts giving their ideas. It's not a debate. The Bible is the central focus around which the discussion centers. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, and all, including the teacher, learn from him. The leader and the group each look into the Word directed by the study, and each learns from the book. Group discussion stimulated by the leader who asks questions and talks less than 20% of the time. Each group member applies the scriptural insights and shares the result of learning with the whole group. For a leader's responsibility are to form the group, recruit the members, issue the invitations, consult with your pastor for suggestions. Personal invitations should be given to every crusade inquiry. Refer to your local congregation. New members in your church should be included. Your pastor may know of some with special needs which the group could plan to help them. Turn the page. Invite personal friends and acquaintances. You may have friends in business or in the neighborhood. Add different perspective to the group. Involve them. Mature Christian friends who know and love the Word of God will greatly assist the group's understanding by contributing biblically to the discussion. Diversity of backgrounds or of group members will aid the group's understanding. Arrange for the study. Place. Most successful programs are centered in the church or a warm, friendly home. Variety of schedules and meeting places can be used. Many churches hold a weekly meeting in conjunction with a midweek service. Use a room not too small or too large for 12 people. Check on proper lighting and ventilation, fresh air. Now, I think that's important, friends. I don't know how many of you get in a place that's stuffy and warm and you're uncomfortable. So think of all of these things. A lot of these things come out of the navigators. They're always thinking of improving. And I know that in our work, Tom and I, every time we had a crusade for years, we get a checklist. And where we really miffed it or muffed it, we made sure we didn't do it on the next one. We kept building checklists until we had a lot of things to take care of long before the crusade started. So, seating should be in circular pattern with a circle, if complete. Tables, if you like, you know, right on, but I like the circle idea. Disciples in advance, decide in advance who will take care of disturbances such as doorbell, telephone to children. Refreshments are not recommended, but I like them, don't you? After the meeting, boy, I like to have a cup of coffee and a brownie or something. It doesn't hurt. That's part of the fellowship, isn't it? Wave your flag. That's it. Oh, I got 5 minutes yet, friends. Man. Time. Discovery group format is designed for 1 hour. It is suggested that the study not run longer than 1 hour, even though some individual may desire additional time together. Some inquiry may not be as committed to in-depth Bible study as others. Materials, 30 discipleship exercises, have been prepared by the Billy Graham Evangelist Association. The studies are on the basis of discussion. The material is a guide, giving the format and discussion questions needed. Manage time allotment, 30 disciples of exercise material is suggested format, including time allotments for each lesson. A good leader will attempt to give complete coverage to the material by setting the pace, moving the discussion along and avoiding sidetrack. I like to think that every lesson has to move toward the application and climax, so don't get too involved with the first part of it and then miss the application. Leaders' preparation, do the study, and complete the written answers yourself. And that's one of the disciplines. We need to be willing to do it ourselves. Get well acquainted with it and have additional verses or questions asked. Make notes of additional good guiding questions that occurred during the study script. Plan to use a proportionate share of the hour's session on each section. Allow time for sharing the opening and time for prayer circle to close. Pray regularly for your group members. Remember, you have committed in the covenant to pray for them. Follow up small group training two phases, before the crusade and after the crusade. Your next step is decide with your pastor who's going to do the training, lead the groups, and so on. And so then in the next page you have tips for leaders and a good two and a half pages there on suggested good tips for leaders. And I believe that you'll find if we have some way to move it into the Promise Keepers format, that unless you have a lot, you may already have a lot of material, but I know that group Bible study has been a thing that the navigators have profited by more than most anything else through the years. Isn't that right? That's where I grew up, in a Bible study, doing question and answer first, and then ABC, where you took a chapter, took a whole chapter and pored over it, and then summarized it or outlined it, picked out the key truth, made an application, and just make you pore over the scriptures and really dig. And so Bible study is good for you. Amen. Okay. Tom, come up.
But I do have a couple of minor points. Just have a seat, if you will. I think we're going to see a little bit of a different approach because of Promise Keepers being one-on-one. This is a great book for one-on-one. It works very, very, very well. And, of course, it's entitled 30 Discipleship Exercises. And if you go up to somebody and say, hey, how about studying the Bible with me for 30 weeks? That doesn't go over so well. So that's why we broke it down, if you look on page 3, into New Beginnings, which is the 7 basic lessons of the Christian life. And there is a video that's been produced. It's called New Beginnings, and it's 15 minutes with Mr. Graham and testimonies of Christians for each one of these 7 lessons. And if you're not sure that your people or you know well how to share the message, and you'd like to see a video for 15 minutes and then do the study, that is absolutely excellent. And in Billy Graham Crusades, we've been shrink-wrapping 10 of these books and the video together for $10. I mean, it is a quality video. And John, you know, if you wanted me to, I'd bring one of the videos in the morning. You could at least look at part of the first lesson, because it's excellent. The first time we showed it was in Columbus, Ohio, the 1,200 leaders one night, and they gave it a standing ovation, the salvation video, 15 minutes. It was done by Scope Productions. They did our follow-up. They're in Scotland. They did our follow-up videos for Scotland and for Russia and then for the U.S. The next morning in Columbus, we showed it to 700 leaders, and one of the pastors, these are pastors and church leaders, ran back to me about 10 minutes into it and said, you've got to give an invitation. I said, excuse me, these are pastors and church leaders. He said, doesn't matter. This is the clearest presentation of salvation I've ever seen. And I think you ought to give an invitation. So, I mean, I did. At the end, I just said, now, I don't know you, you don't know me. And you're all supposedly church leaders, but there's a chance that somebody in this room has never received Christ as Lord and Savior personally. We're all going to bow our head and we're all going to say the sinner's prayer together. And if you've never said it before, mean it today. So I don't know the results of that, but it's that powerful. So I'll get a copy tonight and bring it in. We can, if you want to. So you can at least, it's great. It's really great. But then, unlike other Bible studies, if you're one-on-one-ing, you can go on beyond the basics of the 7 lessons. So it's all there. And all the material that Charlie just went over in the back was what we used to produce in other materials, Xeroxed and stapled or bound, and we gave it out. But finally, we put it in the book. So really, this is a tremendously good, self-contained. Also, if you look on page 74 and 75, I believe, 81 rather, tips for leaders. How to be a good leader rather than an instructor. We're not lecturing. Alright? So these are good to read. You go over with your people if you're training other people, and I just take the time to go down through them one at a time and explain, because leading is really different than instructing. It's really different than teaching. It's really different than preaching. And you may have someone who says, well, I don't have the gift of teaching. You can still lead the study. The study is self-contained. You can do this. And one of the points I wanted to lift up that Charlie shared in that series is those three questions, the three goals that are listed, I think, on about 75. But if you will train your people to remember these three words, discovery, understanding, application, those three words and those three questions, any layman anywhere can lead any Bible study. Even if you just took the Gospel of Mark and went one chapter at a time, these are the three questions. What is God saying? What does it mean? And how can it affect my life application? But you just remember those three words, discovery, understanding, application. What is God saying? What does it mean? Or what does He mean, if you want to put it that way, to me, and how can I change my life? You can lead any Bible study using any tool, any time, with those three questions. You can take any portion of Scripture and lead a Bible study. If you do lead small groups, when you're using small groups with new people, it's not in the book, I'd like to make a suggestion. The book does say 6 to 12, so please don't use over 6 to 12 people. Under 6, you do not have enough people for discussion. Over 12, you've got so many that not everybody can get some discussion in or even speak. But as you're leading a small group, if perchance everyone doesn't show up and you've got an empty chair, what should you do with it? Take it out. Because it's called a psychological cold spot. And as you allow your eyes to roam around the group, when a good leader never calls on people by name, it's spontaneous. He brings the group in by asking questions. But as you're looking around the group, anything that's different is where your eye will stop, and it stops the spontaneity just for a moment. So that's a cold spot. You're going around the group, you hit an empty chair, somebody wants to put their book or their Bible in it, don't do that. Just make them take it out, pull the group in closer. Another thing is most of the time when you see small groups described, you'll see them looking like this. And what's this in the middle of the group? It's a table, it's a barrier. So if you're sitting with people and there's a table in between you, there's a psychological barrier. And when you're dealing with people who are very close and already friends, you can do that. It's a great place to lay the Bible. But with new people, what would you do? I'd take it out. I wouldn't allow that barrier to get in the way. So with Promise Keepers, I think what we're looking at is more one-on-one. Would you agree? Is Gordon here? I think we're looking at a lot more one-on-one. But this is an excellent tool. Another thing, pardon? Oh, it does. It works really, really well. Another thing about a book like this, if any of you have a prison ministry, this is a great tool to take in and leave and challenge your friend to do the study once a week. And you, whenever you come back, you can review whatever he or she's done during that time. Howard? No. We used to have teacher volumes, and we used to have participants' volumes. We found that was just too much waste of money, and it was complicated to have two volumes. So that's why we put everything in the back, and that's why we put all the instructions in the front. It doesn't hurt at all. They might end up being a leader. Okay? Yeah. And then one other point I wanted to make, principles of small group study. You're looking at about an hour, and even though the book says no refreshments, what we found in the past is this. If you start the meeting, say, at 7:30, and you tell the people that it's going to be over at 9, that's an hour and a half, and nobody minds. Nobody minds at all. Just take the first 30 minutes, 7:30 to 8, and have refreshments. And what does it do for you if you do that? It warms it up, and if anybody's late, guess what? They're not late. And you can start on time. But don't tell them we're going to have refreshments from 7:30 to 8 and we're going to start at 8, because what will they do? They'll show up at 8. And Mr. Riggs was right, having a little debriefing time. People have got to get away at 9, but the ones that don't may want to stay and talk. But what we're saying is don't have the refreshments during the study. You don't need them during the study. Have them before or after. But if you have them before, advertise it for an hour and a half. If people are really into each other and the refreshments are basically over by 7:45, 7:50, then go ahead and start the study. That gives you another 10 minutes. But in that way, you work it in without letting them know, and they just think the whole time is an hour and a half. All right? Any questions? Any other thoughts? Any suggestions? Yes. What's going to happen with material we'll discuss in the morning. But what will happen, of course, is that our team, Promise Keepers team, the War Connection, will have to work on each location to determine how much to order. And what we're trying to do is to order it through the War Connection back to the Billy Graham Association to get it at cost plus shipping. Because these little books, like Living in Christ, are about $4. And our price on them is 78 cents. We're just paying cost. And this is a little bit less than 50 cents. But to get it at a bookstore, Charlie, I think it's more like $3.50 or $4 for these little books. So what we need to do, if you have extra orders, I know some of you have said, I'd like more of those little steps, peace with God. If you'd like extra orders, what you ought to do is just let John know and who you are and so forth, so that when we make the big order, we can put some extras in. We'll talk more about that in the morning. I don't want to increase your logistics, John. But it's a privilege we have with the Billy Graham Association to be able to buy these at cost. You know, the Grayson Book Company is a profit-making book company, and what we're doing is we're taking their profit. And we haven't told them. So that's why we prefer people not calling in, because they get wind of what we're doing. They haven't said a word so far. I think it's because they don't know. Any other questions? Any other thoughts? Yes, sir. Yeah. 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 That's right. That's right. That's excellent. You know, they can make it their devotional time doing one chapter a day. Yeah, that's very good. Yes. And
do we have to make our own transparency?
No. We'll talk about all that in the morning, won't we? How to make your own transparencies. You make your own transparencies, right? Yeah. Okay, good. All right, we're early. Anybody complaining? Thank you very much. God bless.